Hallo.
Hier ist Radio Blau and we are here together, Priscilla und
Magdalena,
for our jazz Sendung. So,
yes, yeah. It's One Hour Jazz again, Friday, der 7.11.2025 um 16 Uhr.
Yeah, today we're talking about Aretha Franklin.
Genau, we're talking about Aretha Franklin. It's the Queen of Soul, actually. It's a woman whose voice carried power, tenderness, spirit and truth. Over the next hour, we'll journey through her life from gospel roots to global superstardom, and we rediscover the timeless songs that shaped generations. Lisa Louise Franklin was born in Memphis in 1942 and raised in Detroit. Her father, C.L. Franklin, was one of the nation's most celebrated preachers, drawing gospel greats like Mahalia Jackson and Clara Ward into the home. Her mother, Barbara Siggers Franklin, was a talented pianist and singer. The little girl watched, listened, absorbed, and began to sing at church. The little girl, Aretha, watched, listened, and by age 14, she already recovered her first gospel album. Even then, you could hear destiny in her voice. And because of her father's affair, the couple divorced. So her parents divorced and Aretha stayed with her father while her mother moved away with one of her sons. Sadly, her mother died before Aretha turned 10.
And after her mother's death, Aretha began singing solos at her father's church, New Bethel Baptist Church, where she discovered her incredible voice. When she was only 12 years old, her father began managing her in taking her on the road with his gospel caravan tour, since his father was really, really famous for his gospel and his voice. The same year, she became also a young mother, rode with his gospel caravan tour. The same year, she also became a young mother for the first time, giving birth to her son Clarence and later to Edward 2 years afterward. She would have two more sons later in life. Franklin herself never revealed the identity of the father of either of the boys. There is no suggestion in the biography that the pregnancy resulted from a non-consensual encounter or that she was the victim of statutory rape. At 16, Aretha went on tour with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and later in 1968, she performed at his funeral, a deeply emotional moment that showed her close connection to the civil rights movement. Her early singing style blended gospel, blues, and soul, setting the foundation for one of the most powerful voices in American music. So in the early 60s, Aretha turned toward secular voice, secular music. She signed with Columbia Records, but while her voice shone, the label didn't know how to harness her talent. The big break didn't come yet, but everything changed in 1967 when she moved to Atlantic Records. She, with the producer Jerry Wexler, Aretha brought gospel intensity into blues, soul, and pop, and a star was reborn. So right now, we're gonna listen to I Never Loved Amen.
Yes, and unfortunately, there was a little problem. Can you just repeat what happened after her mother died?
Oh, yes, sure. After her mother's death, Aretha began singing solos at her father's church, and where she discovered her incredible voice. When she was 12 years old, her father began managing her and taking her on the road with his gospel caravan tour. And the same year, she became a younger mother for the first time, giving birth to her son Clarence and later to Edward 2 years afterward. She would have also two more sons later in life. Franklin herself never revealed the identity of the father of either of the boys. There is no suggestion in the biography that the pregnancy resulted from a non-consensual encounter or that she was the victim of statutory rape. And we will never know, I think.
Yeah, okay.
So and right now we're going to listen to I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. And yeah, it was her first major hit with Atlantic Records and it established as a leading soul artist. And yeah, like
We're gonna listen to it. So this was I Never Loved a Man, The Way I Love You of Aretha Franklin. And so in 1967 marks the turning point. And the same year, Aretha recorded a cover that would become her signature, Otis Redding's Respect. Her version transformed the song it like a call of dignity and equality, both personal and political, and it was a number one hit in the chart, and Aretha became an icon. So originally, Respect was written and recorded by Otis Redding, and Aretha transformed it into an anthem for women's empowerment and civil rights. It became her signature song and one of the greatest hits in American history. Otis Redding originally wrote the song, and it was about a man begging his woman to show him some respect when he was around. And Aretha changed the song into an anthem of female empowerment. The lyrics of Respect convey messages of desire for equal respect, which was a theme in everyday life of that time. She expresses that she isn't going to do any wrong or cause any harm, but in return, all she's asking for is some respect. Throughout the song, she repeats the line just a little bit over and over again. This symbolizes her modest request for acknowledgement because she wants the human rights of respect and appreciation. Among the changes the sisters made were spelling out the word respect literally, as well as coming up with the iconic "Suck it to me" phrase on repeat, which come about the reader organically. Additionally, the back and forth of the women's voices added to the powerful message of unity. So right now we're gonna listen to Respect of 1967, and after we're gonna listen to Chain of Falls, that was first released as a single in 1967 and then on album Lady Soul in 1968, and it won a Grammy for Best Female Vocal R&B Performance. So right now we're gonna go to With Respect.
Bye.
Hallo again, wir sind wieder da von Radio Blau mit unserer Jazz für eine Stunde. Ich hoffe, ihr konntet das jetzt schon ein bisschen genießen. Wir haben gerade Chain of Fools gehört und Respect von Aretha Franklin today on this November afternoon. It's a beautiful day, by the way. And we're going on with another key song from this period. It's You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. Today we are celebrating one of these defining soul anthems of the 20th century. So maybe you get some memories or you get to know them now. The song was written in 1967 by the powerhouse songwriting duo Gary Goffin and Carole King, with the input from the producer Jerry Wexler. This song became immortal thanks to the extraordinary voice of Aretha. And there's also a little story behind that. It goes like that. Sometimes songwriters wait for the muse to descend, and sometimes they roll up their sleeves and write to order. So in this case, it would definitely be the last one. Carole King and Gary Goffin were walking down Broadway when Atlantic Records' Jerry Wexler pulled up in his limousine, rolled down the window and said, "I'm looking for a really big hit for Aretha. How about writing a song called Natural Woman?" And it was 1967. 25-year-old Aretha was in this time her first year at Atlantic, the record label, and was already called the Queen of Soul and had just released the number one hit Respect. So Goffin and King looked at each other and then back to Wexler, and he nodded, rolled up the window and disappeared into traffic. Back at their New Jersey home, this young couple put their two daughters to bed and get to work. So in an extraordinary team, they had already written songs like The Locomotion, I'm Into Something Good, or Will You Love Me Tomorrow? And King, she's the musical genius, found the charts almost immediately, while Goffin dreamed up about the lyrics from the song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. So already on the next day, they recorded the demo and took it to Wexler, the record, and he loved it. So that was really ambitious for them to create the song in one night, and they just hoped that Aretha would like it. And of course, I can tell you she loved it, and she made it a record also. And also in the lyrics, you could see like it's about a woman feeling maybe validated by love. The performance changed everything. Aretha's interpretation transformed the track into something far more powerful and a declaration of dignity, self-worth, and emotional strength. So you could say there were like three elements, key elements in this music crafting song. That first of all was the craftsmanship, the super duo Goffin and King, the songwriting duo, that put really emotional deeps in this song. And then they had the cultural moment that was a connection to rise like the second wave feminism at that time. And also, of course, Aretha Franklin herself. She put in her voice, the confident, tender, and made it into a gospel soul classic. And also, after a long time it released, this song became really a touchstone in the culture. For example, when Aretha Franklin passed away in 2018, Alicia Keys and also Ariana Grande performed the anthem as a tribute to her. Ariana Grande went also to sing this song at Franklin's funeral. And also there was one really, really unforgettable performance in 2015 when Aretha was already 33 years old. She got on the stage and as an honor for Carole King, the songwriter, and it was in the Kennedy Center. And you can see she's wearing a long long dress and had a beautiful coat, and she sat on the piano and opened the chords, and there was a huge audience in this room, including Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, and actually all them, also Barack Obama and of course Carole King itself fall in tears when Aretha started singing. So yeah, at that age, she didn't need it to prove anything, yet she proved everything. And now, more than 50 years later, after the first release, you can still hear it's a timeless celebration nowadays. And yeah, now we just listen to it. It's up to you now as next. So maybe give yourself the goosebumps. Here's Aretha Franklin with You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day,
You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, the power song from Aretha Franklin. And Aretha was not just only like a normal musician, she was also a figure deeply embedded in the civil rights movement, of course, in that time. The civil rights movement happened in America, and her father was close to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So Aretha performed at benefits, raised funds, and supported the movement publicly. Her music, powered by gospel spirit and emotional truth, became the soundtracks of struggle and hope as well. So she wrote her own song. It was her own lyrics. It's in the song called Think. It came out 1 year after Martin Luther King died. It was published on her album Aretha Now in 1968. And Think reached also, like a lot of other songs from her, number one on the Billboard Hot and R&B charts. So it was also a soundtrack in the really famous film The Blues Brothers. And I think we just listen now to the song Think. Exactly.
Yeah, so this was Sting of Aretha Franklin, and we are still here for our Jazz Hour. And Sting, it was released as a single in 1968 from her Aretha Now album. The song is a strong call for women's rights. Women shouldn't be a second clown species, and we are precious, and we deserve to be respected and valued as a man. It's a mutual relationship, not a submission, and if you don't get it, well, you should think more.
Yes, think more, that's the key. So also in the 80s then, there was the next empowerment for women. Also the musical landscape changed in the 80s, and Aretha also showed that she could evolve. So at 18, she teamed up with Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics for a new feminist anthem. It's called Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. And it's also a really, really famous song, which was created by and with Aretha. Hello, back again, Radio Blau. And One Hour Jazz, that was Sisters Are Doing Them For Themselves, It For Themselves, with Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics. The song celebrated women taking control of their own lives, careers, and futures. It was a perfect match for Aretha's spirit as well. But there was also difficulties before Aretha. They actually asked Whitney Houston to sing the song, but she said no. No, it was Tina Turner. I'm sorry. They asked Tina Turner to sing it with them, and Tina said no. That was too risky for her, kind of. There should have been another text version before. And somehow it was really risky, and Tina said no, she don't want to sing it in public. So the Eurythmics asked Aretha, and she said okay, she wants to sing it, but they also had to make a little bit like a new version. So it was not that risky anymore, but still, yes, it was a feminist song, as you could hear. So that's from... this song about sisters are doing it for themselves.
So yes, it was a really feminist song, and we like feminist song.
Yeah.
So by the mid-70s, Aretha's popularity had started to fade and her career faced challenges. In 1979, her father was attacked during a burglary and left in a coma, while Aretha also struggled with financial issues. And however, she made a huge comeback with her 1980 appearance in the Blues Brothers movie, performing her hit Thing that we listened before, and another song, Thing is another song about independence and self-respect. This scene introduced her to a new generation of fans. Her success continued into the 80s with Arista Records and albums like Jump to It and Who's Doing Who, which included the pop hit Freeway of Love. And in August 2018, news spread that Aretha Franklin was gravely ill at her home in Detroit. She passed away, unfortunately, on August 16, 2018, from pancreatic cancer, surrounded by her family and friends. Her funeral held at the Greater Grace Temple in Detroit was attended by major figures such as Stevie Wonder, Jennifer Houston, Smokey Robinson and Bill Clinton, and fans lined up for hours to say goodbye to the Queen of Soul. So right now, we want to say you thank you for joining us, and we leave you with the final goodies.
Yeah, but I have one more information that maybe not everybody knows. I didn't know before I was doing my research here. So I figured out that also, Aretha was like really close to Whitney Houston, and when Whitney Houston died, Aretha was also really sad about it and said something in the public about her life, and that all became because the mother of Whitney Houston was actually Sissy Houston, and Sissy Houston for herself was a singer, and she often performed as a background singer in Aretha Franklin's songs and concerts. So they became something like friends, Sissy and Aretha. So Whitney saw Aretha a little bit like it was her aunt. I mean, they were not really related to each other, or they were not really like a family, but they said like it felt like they maybe are like family because they were so close also with the music. So there's a little connection that, yeah, not everybody knows, I guess. So just thought that's maybe also interesting. But yeah, now we can say goodbye and thank you for listening. So we can leave you just with the final classics from Aretha, I guess.
Exactly. So we will start with A Say a Little Prayer, and that's a cover of Dionne Warwick of songs, and Aretha's version gave it to a gospel soul flavor, turning it into another massive hit, loved it around. And yeah, so we'll go with A Say a Little Prayer, and after Bridge Over Troubled Water. And yeah, so let's start with A Say a Little Prayer.
Say a little prayer.
Forever.
Lagerfeuer. Yes, we're back in Radio Blue. So, hope you also like feeling like getting on like a fire, maybe. would be nice when it's getting cold outside. And so, this was Bridge Over Troubled Water. This song was a Aretha version. It's a cover from Paul Simon's Bridge Over Troubled Water, actually. It was first released as a single in March 1971. And this single was certified gold by the RIAA and went on to win the Grammy Award for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance. And I think we can go over and just see or listen to, yes, Aretha Franklin's best songs ever, all time.
Take me to heart.
Yes, we can also tell you that this soulful lady, she had 112 of her singles reached the charts with 20 number one R&B singles, and that was most ever by a female artist. She won 18 Grammy Awards, including the first 8 trophies for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance, and yes, it's an indelible contribution to American music and culture.
Temptation strong. Woman's a labor. This you should understand.
time I'd sing this song. I sing for my Georgia. Oh, Georgia. Get it home, oh, way through. This old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me. I find it's this old sweet song that keeps Georgia on my mind. Let me say, are the arms reach out to me. Are the eyes